service tonight. I really do. It's only us that puts limits on God. It's only us that could stop God by unbelief. The devil certainly can't stop him. But I find many places in the Scripture where doubt and unbelief stopped him. He said he wasn't able to do many miracles in his hometown because of their unbelief. Amen? And the Bible says that the Israelites were unable to go when they could have gone into the promised land because they doubted and they did not believe God. And the doubters, all of them, the Bible tells me, though he delivered them, though he set them free, and they came to that point of crossing over, and they doubted and was unable to go there. And the Bible said they died in the wilderness and their bones bleached in the sun of the wilderness. I don't want to get so close to something and allow a little attitude or spirit of doubt to creep in and hinder me or distract me or stop me from getting what I need from God. I've come too far. I've seen too much. God's brought me out. God's blessed me. God's healed me. Amen. Praise the Lord. And I don't want to get down to the end, down to the wire here, and for some reason start doubting God. You think about it. You think of the litany of things that God has done for you, the many testimonies that you have, the blessings that have been performed in your life. It would be foolish for us to get down here and to fail in our faith at this point. Amen. Bible said when he came back, what would he be looking for? He said, will I find preachers when I come back? Amen. We know that there's going to be somebody preaching the gospel. Will I find Christians when I come back? Will I find folks that do this or do that when I come back? No, he said, will I find faith when I come? He wants to find somebody still holding the banner of faith high and still believing God, still trusting the Lord, still being faithful. Can you say amen? Praise God. If you have your Bibles, invite your attention to Ecclesiastes. That's between Proverbs and Songs of Solomon. It's said that King Solomon wrote the book of Songs of Solomon while he was yet a young man. And you don't have to read very far to tell that there's a lot of passion in this love story that he tells, indicative probably of a young man. And then he wrote Proverbs in his middle years. And it is said that he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes when he had grown old, because he said in chapter 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. So he said, let me just tell you something. I'm old now and getting older. Let me tell you how you ought to live your life, considered to be the wisest man outside of Christ that ever lived on the face of the earth. He said, you better remember your Creator while you have the ability in the days of thy youth. Praise God. And I want to look at another passage here from the same chapter, chapter 12, and examine it closely. It's been on my heart here lately. I have used this passage before, but I feel that the Lord has stirred me up here tonight on this particular passage from the Word of God. Verse 13 of chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work unto judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. I want you to notice the first phrase of 13, and maybe you could read it with me. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Let's read it again. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. I want to preach tonight as a subject. It's the conclusion that counts. It's the conclusion that counts. Amen. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. You see, you can't judge a book by reading the prelude or the introduction or the first few pages. You got to read it in its entirety. And sometimes a good author, he'll keep you confused about what's going on all the way till the end. I've read some of these guys, and I think, man, I got to figure it out. I know who the villain is. I know who the good guy is. I know who everybody is. And then I get down to the last chapter, and they just turn it all around on me. Ends up that who I thought was good was bad, and who I thought was bad was good. Amen. Well, I'm going to tell you tonight, it's the conclusion that really counts. It's the final chapter that really counts. It's how you end that really counts. Amen. Let's pray that the Lord would help us here tonight and anoint us in this place. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we do need you in this place. We need your anointing. We need the power of your Spirit. We need the work of the Holy Ghost. We're asking you to move in this place. Help people in this place. I feel your Spirit now enabling us, helping us. And I pray, God, it would continue throughout the remainder of this service. We thank you for it in the name of Jesus. And would everybody say amen? Why don't you clap your hands one more time?
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. You may be seated. In Ephesians, Paul's writings in chapter 4, verse 26, the word of the Lord says, "Be ye angry." I think somebody stopped right there, and many people quote that, but they leave out the rest of it. They say, man, I got a validation from the Word of God to be angry. I can get mad. But the balance is this. It says, be angry and sin not. Well, that's a delicate balance, isn't it? That means you got to be angry at the right things if you're going to get angry. Some of us get angry at the wrong things. Let certain things get under our skin. We react, we respond in certain ways because of anger. But if you're going to get mad at anything, you need to get mad at the devil. If you're going to get upset about anything, you got to get upset about him wrecking havoc in our world, keeping your loved ones bound in sin. If you're going to get angry and upset about anything and passionate about anything as far as anger is concerned, you need to use this emotion called anger in the right way. And that is, get mad enough at the devil that I'm going to do something good for God. I'm going to live for God. I'm going to serve God. I'm going to worship God. And I'm going to pray against the works of the devil. But it goes on to say, and it seems like these two thoughts don't even really congeal here in this scripture. It says, be ye angry and sin not. And then it goes on to say, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. In other words, if you do get angry and you end up sinning, you end up making a mistake, and I don't think that this is totally relative to anger, but I think that there's a broader concept here of any sin, any mistake, any wrath in our lives. He said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now, the setting of a sun has always been typical of the end or the ending of a day. And when we think about a day itself, it's representative of a person's lifespan. Because every one of us, every life has a sunrise. Many times when I speak at funerals, even in the program, it will say sunrise, indicating the birth of that individual. It is the beginning. And then every life, if given the opportunity and God is gracious and they are able to live, it has a noon time or it has a midday. Every fully lived life has this. And then every life, of course, has a sunset, a conclusion, an ending. Sometimes some people's beginning is not as far from others from its ending. But every life has a sunrise and a sunset. And this verse seems to indicate to us that while there may be, and predictably there will be, opposition, there will be challenges, there will be contradictions, There may even be failures and mistakes during our day or during our lifespan, if I could say it that way. During the morning hours or at noon, you may not always react or respond the way that you should. And wrath or sin may become a part of your day. But the Bible admonishes us in this verse that I've raised your attention to, that before the day is over or before your life has concluded, you should rectify your wrongs and make them right so that the story doesn't have to end like that. Someone once coined the phrase, entrances are brief, but exits are eternal. And one of the most overlooked realities of life, I think, is the fact that you will not be remembered so much for how you began this life, but you will be remembered for how you ended this life. This was illustrated to us a couple of weeks ago when the founder of the Apple Corporation, Steve Jobs, passed away at an early age because of cancer. But then was told his life story. And as we all begin to hear it, it made his life even more amazing and astonishing to us. He was born illegitimately. He was adopted. And he went to college, but he didn't finish college. He was never that much interested in it. And so he only took the classes that he was interested in. He never finished and received his degree. But yet by the end of his life, ever how bleak it might have started, ever how dark it may have began, by the end of his life, he had revolutionized all of our lives. If you don't believe that, just about every one of us know what an iPad is or an iPhone is or an iPod is. And the majority of us probably have one of those devices with us even here tonight. You see, it is the grand finale that really counts. Jesus said it this way, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So I want to encourage someone here tonight. You may have messed up in the morning. You may have made some mistakes in the middle of the day. But we realize that the sun may be setting. And we understand that Jesus is soon to come. But there's still opportunity this evening to change the outcome of your life. You can receive a miracle. You can get healed even in this service. Come on, I'm not talking about a pipe dream tonight. I'm not talking about something elusive that you can't have, or maybe if you're real fortunate, you might be blessed with. But I'm telling you, the Bible tells me that he's still a healer. He is a great physician. He is still able. It doesn't matter what the disease is, cancer, diabetes, leukemia. It doesn't matter what it is. God is able to deliver you of all manner of disease. Able to deliver somebody in this room tonight. He may have not started just like you wanted it to. It may have not began as something that you can brag about here tonight, but the sun hasn't gone down yet, and there's still enough time to change. There's still enough time to make a turnaround. There's still enough time to break through, and you can rewrite the concluding chapter of your life. It doesn't have to end in failure. It doesn't have to end in discouragement. It doesn't have to end in despondency. It doesn't have to end in bondage. It doesn't have to end afflicted. It doesn't have to end, amen, feeling like I might as well give up. But you can end up victorious tonight. You can walk away, amen, with victory in your heart this evening. Oh, somebody clap their hands and let's give praise to the Lord. Now, I realize everybody don't understand where I'm going here tonight. This ain't rocket scientists that I'm talking about. I could be preaching about a variety of things. I could be preaching about your salvation. I could be preaching about your walk with God, your prayer life that has over time diminished. I could be preaching even something as close to your heart as your marriage. I could be talking about that lost child that is away from God tonight that has broken your heart. I could be talking about your ministry or your call from God. I've got good news for you. The sun hasn't gone down yet. There's still enough time for someone to pray through. There's still enough time for us to achieve something for God. There's still enough time for me to get up and dust myself off and try again. There's still enough time for my prayer life to be restored. My relationship with God doesn't have to end at a low ebb, but it can end victorious. It can end on fire for God. Come on, we need to get the fire back tonight. We need to get the passion back for God tonight. We need to get the hunger and the intensity back for the Lord tonight. Come on. Amen. We sung that song tonight, which somebody's soul would catch on fire, and there's nobody's been praying that any more than I have. Nobody that wants that and desires that. Amen. Because I know it's something about fire. It just says, let somebody's soul catch on fire. Just let someone's soul catch on fire. Because if I know anything about fire, I know that it spreads. Amen. I'm not looking for everybody at once to get ignited. I'm not looking for everybody at once to be burning red hot. I'm just looking for one person in this house to get on fire. Amen. I'm just looking for one person in this house that will step out in their worship. Amen. I'm just looking for one individual in this place that will say, you know what? I'm going to let it come through me. I'm going to let God use me. I'm going to let God work in me. I'm not going to be a wet blanket. I'm not going to be a firewall. I'm not going to keep back or hold back what God's wanting to do in this house. But God, I want to be the ignition point for what you want to do, for great revival, for an outpouring of your Spirit. Amen. Somebody's soul would catch on. I'm going to work on that a little bit here tonight. You know, here in Texas, we've had a fire ban. That meant no campfires, no open fire barbecues, fire ban. Don't burn your trash. Amen. Some of the raging fires that unfortunately have taken place just south of here, a lot of them have started with something as simple as a man brush hogging and hitting a flinty rock with the blade of that brush hog and starting a fire. Or somebody throwing a cigarette out and starting a fire. Just that little ignition point, because the fuel was there and it was the atmosphere and the environment was just right, a major wildfire was starting. And so the government, Texas, made a law, we're under fire ban. I don't know where that concept necessarily came from, but I understand that the devil's got a fire ban on the church, and he wants to hinder, he wants to stop, he wants to thwart, he wants to do anything possible to keep there from being any spark or ignition of any kind of revival in this place. But I'm going to tell you, on Landmark Pentecostal Church, I'm lifting the fire ban tonight. I would like somebody to step out a little bit. You say, well, I'm dry. I haven't got all I want. I'm dead. I'm not where I used. I'm going to tell you, you're in a good condition for the fire of the Holy Ghost to reignite you and work in your life like it hasn't in a long time. It's when you're dry. It's when you're dead in your spirit that you need the fire of the Holy Ghost to get a hold of you and renew something and restore something. Need some people that'll start a fire around here. I remember a brother up in the St. Louis church, up there, one of the older churches, 15th in Gravel, I believe it's the first Pentecostal church there in St. Louis. He came up to his pastor many years ago, Brother Black. He said, Brother Black, he said, you know what I am? He said, what are you? He said, well, I'm not a singer. He said, I'm not a musician. He said, I don't have many gifts and talents in the church that I can utilize, but there's one thing I can do. He said, I am a fire starter. Amen. He said, what do you mean by that? He said, when nobody else is willing to worship, I'm willing to worship God. When nobody else is willing to step out in faith and praise the Lord, I'm willing to do so. You know, when it's kind of dry and everybody's subdued and everybody just comes to church and folds their arms and says, well, we'll let the song leader do it. We'll let the preacher get us up. No, he said, I'll step out because God's been good to me. I'm willing to start a fire. Come on, there's just sometimes you can't afford to sit idly by. You got to make up your mind whether anybody else understands this or not, whether anybody else agrees with this or not, whether this makes everybody comfortable or not. I'm going to praise God with all of my heart. They may laugh, they may snicker, but they don't know where he's brought me from and what he's done for me and how desperately I need him to move in my behalf tonight. Oh, what if somebody's soul would catch on fire right? God, it can happen. You can be restored. You can be renewed. Somebody can leave this place talking in tongues afresh. Come on, how long has it been since you spoke in tongues? If it's been 6 months, it's been too long. If it's been 3 months, it's been too long. If it's been 30 days, it's been too long. You need to get back down to the altar. You know, the Bible said that's where the fire is. He said the fire should never go out on the altar. If you want to get reignited, you want to be renewed and refreshed in the Holy Ghost, get back down to the altar. Get a fresh coal off the altar. Say, God, touch it to me again. Put me on fire in my heart again. Don't let me die out. Oh, don't let my old spirit become smothered by doubt and unbelief and all of the criticisms of the world. Help me God, because we're running a race here. Amen. And I don't want to look back. I want to make it to the end. There's something about some folks, they just feel like if I can just make it across the line, then I'm going to be all right. If I can just make it to another Sunday night service, I'll be all right. Just surviving, just getting by, just barely there. No energy, no spiritual passion and desire. It's all gone. It's all drained away. I'm going to tell you, we can't live for God like that. I read about one coach, he told his track team, he said, I want you, when you run across that line after running 5 miles cross country, he said, I want you to keep running for another quarter mile. He said, because the word's going to spread to all the other cross country teams across the region here that that coach trained his folks, and they're so well conditioned that when they get the finish line, they just go on and take a victory lap or so. They just keep on running. Amen. They don't stop just when they're obligated to stop. They don't stop just when they fulfilled their duty, but they go a little further. I wonder if there's anybody in this house that would say, you know what, when we come to the house of God, we're not just going to give enough worship, we're not just going to do enough prayer, we're not just going to have enough church to see us through to Wednesday night. What about breaking some strongholds? What about breaking through into dimensions that we've never been to before? What about crossing the finish line and going a little further? What about breaking into a revival that would be unprecedented in this church? What about breaking through to a point where souls could also receive this wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost? Where we could break through into a place of evangelism? Where we could see revival on the wise that we've never witnessed it in our lives? It's going to happen. It's not going to happen by us just doing enough, just living enough, just praying enough, just staying with it enough, just being faithful enough, just being interested and hungry enough. Come on, you got to push a little further. How about get to the finish line and just going a little further? See what I've already worshiped tonight. I've already given a little bit tonight. Why not get to that point where you feel the breakthrough? Amen. Why don't you get to that lid in your spirit and just say, I'm going to blow this thing off. I'm going to reach into a dimension that I've never reached into before. I want to see God move in my life like I've never seen him move in my life before. Oh, come on, that little patty cake ain't going to get it done. You're going to have to make up your mind. I'm breaking through. I'm breaking through into whatever dimension that God is calling me to. Somebody lift up your voice and let's praise him. You've done your duty. You fulfilled your obligation. But what more could you do for God? What more could you give to him? What more could we have in this service if we was just a little bit more hungry? If we was just a little bit more desirous of him? Are you satisfied with where you're at in life? If the curtain was to fall right now, is this where you want to be? Have you seen all you want to see? Have you experienced all you want to experience in God? The Bible gives us an examples. It's replete actually throughout the scripture with examples of folks that refuse to accept fate and literally change the outcome of their lives and lives of others around them. The Bible tells me, you may be seated for a moment, it tells me about the prophet Isaiah being stirred up and led by the Lord to go down to the king's house, Hezekiah. Hezekiah had been sick for some time and he was led to go down. And maybe when Hezekiah was told by his servants that the prophet was approaching the palace, his heart leapt with joy because no doubt he thought when the preacher comes, he's going to anoint me and pray for me. Things are going to get better. I've been sick for a while, but he's going to pray and God's going to raise me up. But it wasn't words of encouragement that the prophet brought to King Hezekiah. First of all, he said, set your house in order. He said, because the sickness that you have is a sickness unto death. You're going to die, Hezekiah. And he didn't stay around and console him and pat him on the back and tell him how sorry he was to bring such a dismal message to him. But it's evident that he turned on his heels and he walked out. But the Bible said when he did, that Hezekiah had done an unusual thing, that he turned his face towards the wall. Now you got to understand something about Jewish custom. There's still a wall that they go to today and they turn their face towards that wall and they pray. And many times you can see them there. You probably saw pictures. I've been there and witnessed it myself. And in that wall is their prayer request. But I am told some ancient theologians believe that these Jewish people, when they would pray, turning their face to the wall, that many times this place of prayer was a place that they frequented, and they would list their prayer requests, maybe place them on that wall, writing them on the wall, placing on some type of parchment and placing them there. Or not only that, there would be testimonies of what God had done for them in the past, or the prayers that had been answered, or some way they were reminded of the prayers that had been answered at that place of prayer, things that they had brought before God that God had done for them in the past. When he turned his face to the wall, and when he began to pray, he was reminded of all the things that God had answered for him and prayers that God had fulfilled in his life, that God had brought to fruition. When he turned his face to the wall, it was more than just what we think of it to be. He was focusing and blocking out everything else in his world that would try to bring doubt and unbelief into his mind. And he was saying, God, I know that you're able because I've been to this place before. I've been at this position before. I've been in desperate places before. So I know that you're able, and I know that you can, and I'm trusting that you will. I want you to turn this around. I want you, God, to add years to my life. I want you to roll back the dial. I want you, God, to extend my life. And the Bible said before Isaiah could even get off the palace property that God spoke to him and said, go back, because there's a man by the name of Hezekiah that knows how to touch God, that knows how to pray. When desperate situations comes, he turns his face to the wall and he concentrates his efforts and focuses his faith upon me. And I am going to add 15 years to his life. I'm telling you, he accepted no discouragement. He accepted no doubt. He did not accept the word that you're going to die or this is the way that it's going to end. He said, I'm not going to let it conclude like this. The final chapter of my life is not going to be that I went down in disease and I went down in sickness, but I'm going to stand up and believe God one more time that he's able to turn this entire situation around. And when I was reading this tonight, you know what came to my mind? There may be people, and I may not even know who all is here tonight, that has sickness in your body. Maybe the doctor has given you some kind of report. Maybe there's been some kind of situation that has led you to believe that I just have to accept this. This is the way it is. This is what the doctor told me. This is just my fate in life. This is something that I'm going to have to learn to survive and to live with. But the Holy Ghost told me tonight that you don't need to accept that as the way it has to be. God has spoken to my spirit tonight and said that there's a Hezekiah in this house that will stand up and say, you know what? I know what my body's telling me. I know what the doctor told me, but I refuse to accept that. I'm going to claim healing. Come on, turn your face to the wall tonight. Come on, Hezekiah, how many times has he healed you? How many times has he worked for you? How many times has he answered your prayer? You think he's going to fail you now? Turn your face to the wall. It all happened because somebody said, you know what? I'm not going to accept this. I'm not going to take this. I'm not going to live with this. Woo! And I feel the Holy Ghost to tell somebody. Doctor said, this disease is to death. No, you never met my God. You don't know what I've got written on the wall. You don't know what my God's done for me. Devil perches on your shoulder and says, you know what? You might as well get used to it. This is the way it's going to be, fella. This is what you're going to have to live with, man. This is how it is. Just get used to it. You know what you need to do? Turn your face to the wall. Come on, as long as you keep listening to the devil, it's going to be discouragement. It's going to be defeat. It's going to keep you down. You're going to stay depressed. But when you make your mind up, I'm going to turn my countenance away from that. I'm turning my face around from defeat, from depression, amen, from that report of the enemy. And I've got my eyes fixed on what God can do. Somebody needs to believe what God can do tonight. Woo! Come on, let's worship him right now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Maybe you want to stand up in faith tonight for somebody else that you know that is terminally ill, and you just want to stand up in faith. Turn your face to the wall and believe God. I'm not going to accept this. I'm not going to live with this. No. I'm not just going to get by. I'm not just going to exist. No. I refuse that. You know what? I feel the Holy Ghost so real in this place right now. Not everybody's clued into what's happening here, but I believe the Holy Ghost is working right now for somebody that believed God. Jesus, I love you, Jesus. Come on, if you want something from God tonight, why don't you make your way down to this altar? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Jesus. Come on, I want everybody to connect with somebody. Let's pray. Oh, pray with someone. Pray with someone right now. There's a deep, deep move of the Holy Ghost in this house. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Come on, folks, the Holy Ghost is still moving here. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. God, I am praying. You, God, will honor our prayers as we turn our face towards you. Jesus' name, Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. name, Jesus. In your name, Jesus. Glory, 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 glory to God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. God, I pray you touch Haley tonight. Minister to her, God. Strengthen her. Bless her relationship with you. In Jesus' name, keep your hand upon her. In the name of the Lord, I'm praying, God, you'd work in this house, in Miranda's life. God, I know what the doctors say, but we're claiming victory in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, you'd heal and you would work things out. In the name of the Lord, I pray, oh God, as she does your will, God, and lives for you. Pray, God, that she would begin to see the healing take place tonight. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Oh, sweet Spirit of the Lord, let's move with His Spirit tonight. Let's flow with His Spirit tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, it's the conclusion that really counts. It's the end that really matters. Oh, you say, I made mistakes. I failed. I come up short. Holy Ghost would have me to tell you tonight that you can get up again. Rejoice not against me. Oh, my enemy. For when I fall, I shall arise. Come on, I really believe if we just yield to God a little further here tonight, there's a deep move of the Spirit. There's an undercurrent here of the Holy Ghost. Maybe some of you have already sensed that. There's a depth in the Spirit here tonight. I want you to help me by just pressing a little further, seeing God move the way He wants to. Come on, we got to yield to God. We got to surrender to God and allow Him to work. Hallelujah. He wants to move. He wants to work. Let the Spirit have its way in your life. Hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, reach out to God. Reach out to God. Reach out to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, somebody yield to the Holy Ghost right now. Somebody yield to the Holy Ghost right now. Can believe that He's a healer. Why don't you lift up your hands and sing this song with us?
Oh, I believe.
Some ways I feel like He wants to heal not only physical situations here tonight, but He wants to heal wounded spirits, broken hearts.
More than enough for me.
Yes. He can repair things.
Jesus,
now, when He restores things, He does it all well.
Need.
Yes, God.
Oh, Lord, I believe. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need.
Oh, come on, that's it. I'm seeing people praying with one another. Brothers
yes,
praying with another brother. Sister reaching out to another sister in the Lord. Come on, we're
portion.
In this together, folks. Would you pray?
I believe.
Hallelujah.
You're more than enough.
Oh, that's it,
for me.
That's it, brothers.
Hallelujah. Jesus, you're all I need. Oh, yes, I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. Lord, I believe that you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I You hold my every moment. You calm my raging sea. You walk with me through fire. Heal all my I trust in you. Oh, I trust in you. Oh, yes, I do. And I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. Oh Lord, I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me.
Oh, come on, folks, let's continue to reach out to God.
Oh, Jesus, you're all I need.